service. Grab a Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to continue walking through the book of Philippians today. And we've got just four more lessons in our study in Philippians. And the theme of Philippians is joy, and today we're going to talk about joy in accomplishments. So we're human beings, and so we find joy in many ways, and one of the ways that we may find joy is in accomplishments. In fact, God has built this into us. And there's certainly nothing wrong with being proud of our accomplishments and finding joy in our accomplishments, as long as we keep them in perspective. And I want you to think just a moment about your life and think about an accomplishment in your life in particular. I mean, is there something in your life that you have accomplished that brought you great joy? Maybe it was graduating from high school. Maybe it was getting that college degree or that master's degree or even a higher degree. Maybe it was the feeling of accomplishment when your children moved out and you felt like, I believe that we did the best we could with God's help, and they're ready to live on their own now. We have accomplishments in our lives, and they bring joy to our lives. And if you were to think about that and contemplate that, what would be on the top of your list? Whatever is on your list, whatever you think about, whatever goes to the top of your list, goes right to the heart of what joy is all about. Those things on your list play a role in your joy. They may even provide a daily dose of joy. Now, in chapter 3 of Philippians, we're going to see the autobiographical portion of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And Paul's going to talk about accomplishments. And he's going to talk about how he had the wrong things on his list. Paul was a guy that I believe many in our culture could relate to. He was very successful, he was powerful, but his life was completely devoid of joy. And some of us may know exactly what that is like. We may be experiencing something very similar. We may even have great accomplishments in our lives, but our lives, in truth, are devoid of joy. Now, if we're not living that, we probably know somebody who is. In this passage today, we're going to see Paul turn the corner in his life. He's going to tell us how he found joy. And as it turns out, he found joy in his accomplishments. Paul found joy when he found what matters most. Paul found joy when he accomplished what God desires for us to accomplish. You see, life's greatest accomplishment is knowing Christ. If we can look back on our lives and say, I knew Christ, the one who gave his life for me, then we will have experienced life's greatest accomplishment. And knowing Christ will make every other accomplishment make sense. Taking our relationship with Christ to another level will allow us to make the most of our accomplishments in life. Now, the goal of our lives as Christ followers is to be more like Christ. The goal of this series is to help us grow to be like Christ. To get the most of our lives, to get the most out of our accomplishments, we must continue to grow in Christ. And let's be clear, God is working in our lives. God wants to work in our lives. He is moving in us and around us to grow us. And how we see our accomplishments, whether they're past, present, and even future, will play a part in our growth. Now, there are some specific disciplines that are required for us to grow in Christ. We talk about them all the time. You have to read your Bible, study your Bible. We must pray. We must have an ongoing conversation with God. That's prayer. We must get together with other believers. That's what we're doing right now. And then we believe that you need a small group to walk with you through life if you're going to grow in Christ. Now, those are basic disciplines. And in chapter 3, Paul is going to take this a little bit deeper. The basic disciplines provide the foundation for growing in Christ. And now Paul's going to dig in a little bit deeper, and he's going to talk about attitude. He's going to address our attitude towards our daily life. He's going to talk about our attitude toward our accomplishments. He's going to even address our attitude when we suffer. Now, there's so much for us to learn about taking our relationship with Christ to another level. But let's read it now, and then we'll dive in. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what Paul wrote. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. No matter what happens, be filled with joy and rejoice. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us, and we put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. He's saying, I have more religious accomplishments than anybody ever. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. And I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And for His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. By the way, that word garbage is cleaned up. Sewage would be a lot closer, and it's even more harsh than that. He said, I counted all as garbage so I could gain Christ and become one with Him. And I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. And I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. And I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul says so much there. So let's see if we can narrow the focus today for us. Paul says to go to the next level with God, you must watch out. If you really want to know Christ and if you want to go to the next level with God, you better watch out. In verse 2, he says, watch out. Now check this out. Paul says, watch out for false teachers. He says, watch out for other Christians who want to lead you away from what is most important. Watch out for teachers and other Christians that will hinder your progress in Christ by dragging you down to their level. Now, here's the thing. You need to understand this about following Christ. There will always be people who want to hold you back at their level. Now, the people that Paul was talking about thought Jesus was important, but they thought doing things the Old Testament way was important too. They wanted to add circumcision to what Jesus had accomplished on the cross. By the way, that's how you can spot a false teacher. Anytime they say plus, look out. If they say Jesus plus baptism, if they say Jesus plus church attendance, if they say Jesus plus living up to their standard, if they say Jesus plus giving money to the church, look out. Watch out. Now, baptism is important. Being a part of a church family is important. Living in a way that pleases God is important. But none of those things will save you from your sin. Only faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection will save you. We are saved by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Now, the people that Paul is warning about had a false teaching of Jesus plus the Old Testament. Some of them were believers. I believe they were really Christ followers, but they just couldn't move on from the past. They couldn't deal with what Paul was teaching about grace. And so they were trying to drag people back down to their level. And you can tell that Paul has no compassion or patience for false teaching, for those who will hold us back. And Paul was a compassionate person. He had tons of compassion for those who were lost and far from God. But when it came to believers who are trying to hold people back, he calls them dogs. And that term dog was way less kind in Paul's day than it is now. Paul is talking about false teachers, those who do evil. He even goes so far as to call them mutilators. And he's talking, I think, in the literal physical sense, but I think he's talking in the spiritual sense too. They'll mutilate your walk with Christ. They'll hold you back. Now, this is serious stuff. Paul has no time or use for those who would hold Christ followers back from growing in Christ. Now, after he gives this warning, Paul points out who we are in Christ. He says, we rely on Christ and his work on the cross. He says, we are the circumcision. This is the new promise. This is the new covenant. That's who we are. And when Paul says we're the circumcision, he's not talking about literal circumcision. He's talking about a change of heart. He's talking about being identified with Christ. Circumcision was an Old Testament symbol that identified the children of Israel with God. And now we have a spiritual symbol of circumcision, and it's based in our obedience to God. We have Christ in our lives, and we're willing to follow him in obedience. And he says, we worship by the Holy Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ, and we give Christ the credit for all that God is doing in our lives. We put all of our confidence in God, not in man. And when we give our lives to Christ and we begin to grow in Christ, there will be those who want to hold us back. So you better watch out. Now, I want us to see what Paul says next. He uses himself as an example. And he says, you got to watch out for people who look good on paper, whose accomplishments in religion, in the church, may seem grand because they may be misplaced and misguided accomplishments. Paul basically says, watch out for anybody who throws an ism at you. If somebody has an ism, an ISM, behind their accomplishments, watch out. He talks about ritualism. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day by the book. He talks about nationalism. I'm from the right tribe in the right country, a Jew of Jews. He talks about elitism. He says, I come from the best tribe. He might as well have been from Texas. Not only am I an American, but I am a Texan, right? He talks about religionism. I was a real Hebrew. I had all the right answers. And he was super religious. By the way, some of the nastiest people I know are the most religious people I know. He talks about enthusiasm. He said, I was enthusiastic about doing everything that I could to mess up the church. He stooped low enough to murder. See, sometimes enthusiasm is not enough. You hear a lot about sincerity. You can be sincerely wrong. And finally, he talks about legalism. See, in Paul's day, there was this entire list of Hebrew laws that had to be adhered to, and your ability to adhere to those laws pretty much determined if you were a good person or a bad person, or whether you loved God or didn't love God. They had like 613 laws to keep, and Paul says, I was better at following the rules than anybody else ever. He was all about following the rules to the letter of the law. You see, the essence of legalism is if you keep the rules, you'll be happy. If you keep the rules, you'll be filled with joy. Paul had all these rules and all this going for him, and he had no joy. He was empty because he was spiritually bankrupt. And let me tell you this, if we fall into this, we will not be happy and fulfilled and joyful. Watch out for false teachers and those who love the isms. Paul said, I thought I was doing it all right, and I had all of these accomplishments, and yet I was not filled with the joy that comes from knowing Christ. And Paul came to the conclusion that if you really want to enjoy a relationship with Christ, you have to stop putting your confidence in yourself and you must put all of your confidence in Christ. Paul says, watch out. And then the second thing he says is you must do a profit and loss statement. If you want to continue growing in Christ, if you want to be more like Christ, you need to do a profit and loss statement. See, Paul had all of this stuff and all of these accomplishments, and then he realized those are the very things that were keeping me from knowing Christ. They were the barriers, these religious accomplishments, all these things he thought he was doing right, they were the barriers to him growing to be like Christ. In verse 7, he said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. See, Paul realized that God has a different accounting system than we do. He realized that what is important to us may not be important to God, and vice versa. You see, we keep our set of books, but God has his own set of books. Paul said, when I got to the bottom line, there was no joy. When I added it all up, I realized that it didn't add up to anything. All of my accomplishments led to emptiness. And so then Paul set his sights on growing in Christ. He set his life's agenda on knowing Christ. He began to develop his relationship with Christ. Now listen, if you don't get anything else today, get this. There are few things in life that are vital. There are very few things in life that are vital. There are very few things in life that I cannot do without. Knowing Christ is vital. Growing in Christ is essential. And Paul said, I thought all the wrong stuff was vital. I thought all the wrong stuff was essential. Paul said, I was measuring success in all the wrong ways. And so he began to account for his life with God's measuring stick. He did a profit and loss statement on his life. And we need to do this. I encourage you to do this. Just get a piece of paper or open up a new document in Word and on one side write what I build my life on. And on the other side, write what Christ wants me to build my life on. Now, it would be great if the two sides matched. But I'm afraid they don't always match. But the longer that we know Christ, the more they should match. And as you do this exercise, on one side, what I build my life on, the other side, what Christ would have me to build my life on, as you do this exercise, cross some things off. Do a profit and loss statement on your life and start crossing off some of the things on your side. Paul even took it a step further. He said, not only have I been living the wrong way, but he said, my past is a loss. I wasted it. It's garbage. And again, garbage is actually cleaned up. See, there's nothing like knowing Christ. Now, let's be real. This is tough stuff. Paul is not messing around. He's saying there was a huge gap in my life. There was a huge gap between what I thought was important and what it takes to know Christ. There was a huge gap between what is important and what is not. And let's not lose sight of the big picture. We're talking about joy. All right, so what does this mean? All right, think about it. If everything is garbage compared to knowing Christ, that's the word he uses, everything. If it's all garbage compared to knowing Christ, then all the stuff that happens to us, all the stuff that could steal our joy, all the times that we don't live up even to our own expectations, much less God's, it all goes on the garbage pile. If knowing Christ is the thing and everything else is garbage, then you better have the right thing. You better know the right thing. You better have the vital thing if you want any joy in your life. I better focus on the thing that will bring me the most joy. And listen, you still have Christ. You still know Christ. You are still God's child. And God wants better for you. And God has more joy for you. See, the real key to having joy in our life is having one thing on our list that really counts. And one thing on our list that we cannot lose. And that is a relationship with Christ. Because everything on our side, it can all be lost. Now, please understand, Paul is not saying that nothing else in life matters. That's not what he's saying. He's saying everything else pales in comparison to knowing Christ. This is really about allowing Christ to move into all the other areas of our life. It's about allowing Christ to move into all the areas on our list. This is about making Christ and our relationship with Him the priority. So Paul says, watch out. Paul shows us how to do a profit-loss statement, and then he gets very basic. He said, if you want to know Christ and be filled with joy, you must get righteousness. You have to get righteousness. Now, let's just be straight up. We don't like the word righteousness. It carries a negative connotation. And I think many times we think that righteousness is about keeping laws and following the rules, and it's all about the regulations. In fact, some of you think that's what church is all about. No, but here Paul is talking about real righteousness. And real righteousness, what the Bible means by righteousness, is being made right with God. Paul is talking about being right in our relationship with God. And that is precisely why Jesus came to die. Jesus came and died and rose again to make us right with God. And here's the thing. Paul came to understand this, and we must understand this. If we're ever going to live with real joy, we must understand. Because we cannot keep the rules. And if our joy is dependent upon us keeping the rules, we will never have joy. We cannot ever do enough to be ruled not guilty before God. And if we ever believe that it's about what we can do, we will never have joy. Look back at verse 9. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness. I don't count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. And I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. And I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul lays out very clearly how we get this thing called righteousness. The only way that we can be made right with God is by faith in Christ. He says, trying to obey the law will not get it done. Being a good person will not get it done. Serving people, tithing to the church, coming to church will not make me right with God. Only faith in Christ will make us right with God. Listen, I mentioned it earlier. Sincerity will not make you right with God. Nobody was ever more sincere than Paul. He was willing to kill Christians for what he thought was right. We cannot do enough. We cannot be good enough. We are sinners and we are incapable of meeting God's standard on our own. And that is why Jesus came. And He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin and to make us right with God. And when we come to Christ, admitting our sin and believing in His death and burial and resurrection, and we accept Him as our Savior, we are made right with God. We get true righteousness. We get righteousness, and it's not based on our accomplishments. It's based on what Christ has done. And listen, I want to tell you something, and you may not have ever thought about it in this context before, but I'm telling you, this is truth for your life. There is nothing that brings greater joy than knowing that you are right before God. Nothing will bring more joy to your life than understanding that you are right before God. And we rely on Christ's accomplishments. And let's be clear, all right? This is our struggle. We struggle with true righteousness because we prefer self-righteousness. See, because if somehow, some way, if we can show that we're right, that we're living right, then it becomes about us. And we can say, look at what I did. Look at who I am. Look at what I have become. Look at my accomplishments. That is self-righteousness, and it gets you no place with God. Our mantra, our chorus must be, look at Jesus Christ. Look at what Jesus has done. Look at what I have become in Christ. Look at what Christ has accomplished in his death and in his resurrection. Paul says at the end of the day, life is about being identified with Christ and knowing Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul was not satisfied knowing about Christ. He wanted to know Christ. And he understood that knowing Christ leads to a powerful life. And a powerful life will result in accomplishments that are pleasing and glorifying to God. And as Christ followers, we can never be satisfied living with our own righteousness and with our own power and leaning on our own accomplishments. We need the righteousness of Christ, the power of Christ that comes from relying on his accomplishments. Now, one last thought. All right. It will not always be easy. See, Paul talks about suffering with Christ and sharing in his death. Well, what does that mean? Well, this is how Jesus said it in Matthew 16. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Being identified with Christ and living with his righteousness may cost us something. But it's worth it. And we can find real joy in Christ's accomplishments. We can find real joy in living to accomplish those things in life that bring honor and glory to him. Would you pray with me? If you would just bow your head right where you are. Just pray with me. Father, we want to live with your joy. And we know that if we depend on our righteousness, that real joy is beyond our reach. And we know that if we rely on our accomplishments, real joy will be out of reach. And we know that if we live in our own power alone, joy will escape us. So, Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you that you have made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, to pay for our sin, so that his righteousness might be ours. And our prayer today, God, is that we would be identified with our Lord and Savior. And we want to live with his righteousness based on what he accomplished. And we want to live with his power based on what he accomplished. And we pray for all this in his wonderful name. Amen.